who do not hold any moral principles, who want to demolish the family and the nation, exploit workers to make themselves unduly wealthy, foment internal divisions and wars, and accumulate power and money. For them, the fallacious illusion of temporal well-being will one day, if they do not repent, yield to the terrible fate that awaits them far from God in eternal damnation. Welcome to the Grace Force, everyone. This is the Grace Force podcast. We've got an exciting show tonight with our friend Jesse Romero and my buddy Doug. So we want to start tonight with a prayer for blessing and protection, and we'll call it to St. Michael. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. It's going to be a good show tonight. We got Jesse Romero, third time back on the
third Eastern. Time.
Yeah, this will be fun. Before we get into explaining Jesse, for those of you who don't know him, which it's hard to believe someone doesn't know Jesse, if you're in the Catholic world at all, watching podcasts or videos or conferences. But before we get into that, first of all, we always have to officially and just with much appreciation thank our patrons out there. Those of you who support us through Patreon are doing an amazing job. And by joining forces with us, I just can't tell you how much it's really making the difference right now. If you're interested, anybody out there in becoming a patron, you can click on the link below, Patreon link, and just sign up there and take it from there. And we pray for you constantly. Thank you so much. And again, it is making the difference in helping us get this message out to as many people as possible. So thank you for that. I also want to remind everybody, check out the U.S. Grace Force merchandise shop, if you want to call it that, our gear shop, our place of official t-shirts. And you can see that in the link below as well. This is a place you can get the world famous U.S. Grace Force t-shirts. U.S. Grace Force started by Father Heilman himself. And we have a new design coming out. Check this out right here. This is the Under God, One Nation Under God, the United States of America Under God design. And very important one. We got to get this out. We got to get this wide and far spread everywhere, especially with what's going on in our country right now. The election coming up in November, very critical time right now for us to take very seriously that we place ourselves under God's protection, under God's guidance, under God's healing. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, because we are literally in the thick of a battle with the children of light versus the children of darkness. And that's what our good friend Jesse's here to talk with us about.
Yeah. Jesse, thank you so much for being with us. I'd like to have you on every week if you want. This is great. This is great. But for those who may not know Jesse, or you want a little recap, Jesse was a three-time World Police Olympics boxing champion, a former USA middleweight kickboxing champion, and a retired veteran of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And Jesse shares his Catholic teaching with an exciting style. Everybody just, you know, once you hear Jesse, you can't get enough of him. And it really strengthens and edifies and fortifies everyone who wants to have that deeper love of God. Jesse, what else do you want to say about that? You had a special role or something in the police department, right?
Yeah, and the LA Sheriff's Department is the largest sheriff's department in the world. And one of my assignments was there. I was a defensive tactics instructor for recruits in the sheriff's department. So yeah, I'm a certified defensive tactics instructor on use of force, escalation and de-escalation.
So you would have been a guy who would have trained the dude that did what he did with George Floyd, right?
Correct.
Right. So yeah. We're hearing more reports, but we don't want to, I don't want to know if I want to get into that, but this guy was reported a bunch of times before that. And so there was a lot of red flags that he might not be a good dude, but anyway, so thanks, Jesse, for being with us tonight. You know, there's so much going on. That's why we wanted to bring you on, Jesse, because you're so tuned in. And you do have a background in just the whole idea of Satan and exorcisms. And you know, we really wanted to get your read tonight on what's going on, because I think people are freaking out. I mean, it's such a, I'm calling it a volcanic explosion of evil that's going on right now. And so what's your take on it, Jess?
Well, my take on it is that Venerable Fulton Sheen, probably about 45 years ago, gave a lecture. It was called The Diabolical in Society. And he said there's three things that you can tell when the diabolical has basically attached himself to a city or to a society. He says, number one, that society, well, there'll be a love of nudity, number one. Number two, love of violence. And number three, division. Well, Fulton Sheen, rest in peace, what he said 45 years ago in this lecture, it's in place right now, especially in most of the major cities around the country, as a result of the arrest of what's his name again? I'm just forgetting his name. George Floyd.
Yeah.
And the officer Derek Chauvin. This has started a firestorm across the country. And basically, if one thing we could learn from all of this as Catholics, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is this, and Archbishop Vigano nailed it. There's two types of people out in the world. You got sons of darkness and sons of light. And so you got to ask yourself, whose team am I on?
Right.
Am I part of Team Jesus, or am I on the other guy's team?
Right.
And if you're not part of Team Jesus, by default, you're part of Team Satan. And right. So basically all of society, you're seeing very clearly right now the lines of demarcation. You're seeing people are basically displaying what team they're on right now. Their external actions speak volumes of what they have on the interior.
Right.
And you know, what's sad is that as Catholics, one of the most important things for us is to have interior custody, you know, formation of our interior life, cultivating our interiority. Because when you cultivate your interior life with the Word of God and the Catholic faith, now you have external discipline.
Right.
But what you're looking at around the country with a lot of these young kids that are protesting, and actually they're rioting. Protesting is what I do in front of Planned Parenthood. These kids that are rioting and looting and robbing and stealing and beating people up, why are they displaying external violence? I'll tell you why. Because they have internal disorder. They don't have a relationship with God. Right. If you don't have a relationship with the one true God, you won't have internal order. If you don't have internal order and internal custody, your external actions are going to be disordered. That's what we're seeing right now on the television.
Jesse, you spent, again, was it like, I think 20 years?
Yeah.
20 years in law enforcement. And you had many cases. I mean, you and I have been friends a long time. You've told me a lot of stories of how you took down bad guys left and right. And you have been through these moments where you saw and ran into this disorder that was going on. And you actually crossed paths with the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez. Tell us a little bit about that situation. For a lot of people out there remember that. The younger crowd might not so much, but this was a pretty scary time in California under this guy.
Yeah, this was back in the early to mid 80s. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, that's what he was called, the Night Stalker. He was basically a media darling. They were playing his trial for a year every night. He was a committed Satanist. He was a professed Satanist. Every night, he'd basically showboat for the cameras. He'd put his right hand out there. There was a pentagram in his hand, a circle with a pentagram, which is a sign of a satanic symbol. My friends arrested him. I know the arresting officer. They arrested him in East Los Angeles. He was trying to rip off a vehicle, trying to steal a vehicle to go to commit his next murder. And he was apprehended by good citizens in this one Hispanic neighborhood. They held him. And in fact, they recognized him. They said, hey, that's the Night Stalker. We've seen his face on television on the evening news, they started pummeling him. My friends from the East LA Sheriff's Station, they got through the black and whites and they pulled the people off and they arrested him, took him in custody. They would have beat him to death. They were going to give him street justice. So my contacts with Richard Ramirez were once he was in our care in the county jail, and I was working the county jail, that's where I dealt with him basically every day for about a year.
Jess, you know, you mentioned Vigano, and he sent an open letter to President Trump. It actually came out on June 6th, but it's dated on Trinity Sunday, June 7th. And I got to tell you, I would tell people I was I had a baby burial with a lovely family that had a miscarriage, and I came back and I checked my email that day, and this is the email that I came back to. Father Heilman, thank you for your homily this morning. I help with translation work for Archbishop Vigano. His letter published today expresses a lot of the excellent points you made at Mass this morning. I'm going, letter? What letter? You know? And it just so happened that I hit on this whole thing earlier in Mass that morning, and I was on fire. But Archbishop Vigano actually steals Trump's line about the virus, where he calls it the invisible enemy, but he puts that on Satan, okay? He calls Satan the invisible enemy. But people, if you have not heard or not read this letter, we should link it below. Hopefully we'll do that. We'll have that link to it below. It is unbelievable. He actually points out in the most beautiful way what exactly is going on in our culture right now. And he calls the name that the president uses a lot, the deep state, right? And he actually talks about deep church too, you know, but he's talking about this deep state, and he actually lauds President Trump for standing up against it. I've been saying this all along, you know, that we finally have a fighter in the White House that's standing strong against this, and I call it a ruling class a lot. But Archbishop Vigano actually calls it a absolute minority. So he's pointing out, and if you guys don't mind, I want to read just a couple paragraphs here, because sure. This is just, I'll read what he opened up with. He says, Mr. President, in recent months, we have been witnessing the formation of two opposing sides that I would call biblical, the children of light and the children of darkness. The children of light constitute the most conspicuous part of humanity, while the children of darkness represent an absolute minority. And yet the former are the object of a sort of discrimination which places them in a situation of moral inferiority with respect to their adversaries, who often hold strategic positions in government, in politics, in the economy, and in the media. In an apparently inexplicable way, the good are held hostage by the wicked and by those who help them, either out of self-interest or fearfulness. These two sides, which have a biblical nature, follow the clear separation between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. On the one hand, there are those who, although they have 1,000 defects and weaknesses, are motivated by the desire to do good, to be honest, to raise a family, to engage in work, to give prosperity to their homeland, to help the needy, and in obedience to the law of God, to merit the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, there are those who serve themselves, who do not hold any moral principles, who want to demolish the family and the nation, exploit workers to make themselves unduly wealthy, foment internal divisions and wars, and accumulate power and money. For them, the fallacious illusion of temporal well-being will one day, if they do not repent, yield to the terrible fate that awaits them far from God in eternal damnation. In society, Mr. President, these two opposing realities coexist as eternal enemies, just as God and Satan are eternal enemies. So I'll just close there. You've got to read, people, you got to read this whole thing. I read the first two paragraphs. There's probably about seven paragraphs to this. It is monumental But again, he draws the line. I've always said this, Jesse, that when you boil it all down, you know, what's going on? What's going on? And you could easily see good versus evil. But you know what I've been calling it? I've been calling it the children of God versus the children of the world, okay? Meaning those who are in power are indoctrinating their followers to just be savages, to just be animals. They're reminded over and over again that we're just part of evolution, you know, that we're just we've evolved from the chimpanzees. And so go ahead. Freedom means doing what the animals do, okay? No morals, no principles, no values, no living that higher life. You know, and so he nails it. He calls it, they're in darkness. They're the children of darkness. And then the children of light are those who have, I like to say, red-pilled, have come into that understanding of who they really are, a precious child of God made in his own image, right? Called to make a difference in this world, called to let their light shine on the darkness. Take it from there, Jesse.
Yeah, St. Paul is actually using New Testament language, and that's what I like about Archbishop Vigano. He doesn't operate in the gray like a lot of Catholics do, right. Even a lot of clerics. They like, you know, who am I to judge? They operate in the gray. To me, this is why I love the New Testament so much. It's black and white. And Archbigano is black and white. And St. Right. Paul is black and white. Right. And God is black and white, justice or mercy. And Archbishop Vigano is using ecumenical language gone crazy, you know, gone off the rails. He's right. Using New Testament language. Sons of the light and sons of darkness. That comes from St. Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 to 7. This is Pauline language. And I'll tell you also what I love about this archbishop. As a successor of the apostles, he is encouraging the president of the most powerful country in the world. The United States and the president is the most powerful office in the world. We have clerics, and I won't mention their name. We have clerics that are vilifying successors of the apostles, that are vilifying and demonizing our president. And we have this successor of the apostle that understands that the office of apostle is one of Barnabas. The word Barnabas means the son of encouragement. As the Bible says, encourage one another. Here's a Catholic successor of the apostles who's encouraging a Protestant president. I find that praiseworthy. That's true ecumenism. That's proper ecumenism, right. What he's doing. And what Archbishop Vigano is also talking about, he's tapped into the mind of the church. I mean, you got St. Augustine, you know, talking about the fourth century in a book. He says, you got the city of God versus the city of men.
Right.
You got a few centuries later, you got St. Ignatius of Loyola in his spiritual exercises. He talks about, you got two teams, the camp of Satan and you got the camp of Christ. Right. And John Paul II, right before he became Pope, this was in the mid-70s. He was still Cardinal Wojtyla. He gave this historic talk in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. where he used the same phrase. He says, we're now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between Christ and the antichrist, right. Between the gospel and the anti-gospel. Archbishop Vigano, in my opinion, right. Is a prophet for our time, and not a prophet with a small p. All of us are prophets with a small p based on our baptism and confirmation. He's a prophet with a capital P. He is speaking like John the Baptist, like St. Paul, wrapped up in one.
Jesse, when you hear him talk about the things like the children of darkness and the children of light, and then you see what's going on with all the protests and the screaming and the yelling and the pressure that's being put on people to take a knee, for example, does the knee, in your opinion, come from Kaepernick? Do you think that's where that comes from, an act of defiance against the national anthem? Do you think that this pressure that's being put on people, and a lot of people are capitulating to it, they are giving in to it. There are people out there who are putting a ton of pressure on people when it comes to this. Ask for forgiveness for your white privilege, but they don't care about Officer Dorn, who shot and killed on the street. that when they're looting TVs. I mean, this sort of thing out there. I mean, do you see this as, and plus the whole thing about defunding the police. I mean, this is one of the reasons we want to have you on, because, you know, you're in the thick of the spiritual side of this, but you were in the thick of the other side of this. I mean,
I got two boys that are in law enforcement.
Two sons in Phoenix.
They're having putting on shields and face masks every night and working 10 hours a day and defending their cities. I got a dog in the fight again.
Yeah. So what would you say to those out there? Because I run into even some flack on my Facebook page, social media for actually stating things such as, hey, you know what? We shouldn't just, you know, walk this walk when it comes to just going along with the trend and the bandwagon of, you know, defund the police and everybody let's support Black Lives Matter without considering what's really going on here and what they're really asking for and Antifa's involvement in this sort of thing. I mean, you know, when it comes to that whole policing thing, for example, the Children of Darkness, you dealt with one of the Children of Darkness, so to speak, in Ramirez, the Night Stalker. You say that the people who caught him were going to give him street justice. What do you think happens if the police are defunded and disbanded, as the time we record this, Minneapolis has said that they're going to do this now. What's your take on all of that and how it relates to the whole Children of Darkness, Children of Light situation that we're in, that Vigano talks about?
Okay, well, let me talk about law enforcement. Law enforcement is a God-ordained vocation. That's point number one. Law enforcement officers across the state, they're called, their official title, they're called peace officers. That's what they're all called. Deputy sheriffs, city policemen, constables, marshals, they're all called peace officers. Why? Because they're the vanguards of society. If it wasn't for them, Doug and Father, here's what we would have. If you take off the cops from the street, watch the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, just watch the trailer. It's called The Purge. The Purge is one night without the police and everybody, you have 12 hours. You can go outside, commit crime and kill somebody. Without law enforcement, trust me, these people that you're watching in all these cities, it would turn into the Purge. The only thing that stops them from going that extra mile is you have brave men and women out there with shields and face masks, getting spit at, taking rocks and bottles, and just holding the line in front of City Hall, in front of police headquarters, in front of Target or Walmart. What about law enforcement? Is this some type of an evil profession? Matthew chapter 6, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what a cop's called, a peace officer. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 13, he gives it from verses 1 to 4, he talks about the way, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no governing authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. And he goes on to say about the governing authority. Now, St. Paul's talking in context here about Roman soldiers who were the policemen, the city policemen, and the military wrapped into one office. And so in the context, this is what he's talking about. Even about the Roman soldier under Caesars, under the pagans, here's what he says about them. He goes, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you'll receive his approval. For he is a servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he's a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So that's on the Catholic point. Law enforcement is a God-ordained vocation. That's why in Catholicism, I tell cops all the time, start praying to St. Michael every day. On duty, call for his assistance. When you go 10-8, when you hit the streets, St. Michael's a patron saint of policemen. Okay, got that out of the way. But point about what would happen. You take out the cops. You know what would happen? You take off the cops for one night. You know, we'd all become like Mel Gibson, Mad Max. We'd be lone cops out there like Mel Gibson fighting all these crazies. You'd be Mad Max where you're at. I'd be Mad Max, but you'd be a solo law enforcement guy trying to fight for your life. Or you know what would happen if you take out all the cops? Think about the movie, The Book of Eli, Denzel Washington. Remember?
Yep.
The only buddy left on planet Earth is a bunch of lunatic, crazy, monster barbarians. He's the only, like, good guy left, and he's got a Bible, and he's trying to walk all the way to the West Coast because there's a little enclave of good people that are surrounded by these walls. Doug, this is what we would have if you take out the police. Don't these people realize? And it's funny. What are you going to do? Say you live in a black neighborhood called the ghetto, okay? I worked in the ghetto as a cop. So, a crime's committing in your neighborhood, a black neighborhood. They'll call it a ghetto. Who are you going to call? The Crips? The Bloods? Are you kidding me? The good people. Good black people, good Hispanic people, good minorities, they want cops because the policemen are the only thing from keeping their society, their neighborhoods from turning into complete strongholds for these barbarians. Let me be honest with you. A lot of good, decent black people, they're afraid of the younger generation of black youth. There's a whole book that talks about that. It's called Larry Elder. He's a black lawyer. It's called What's Race Got to Do With It? He got a whole chapter. He's saying most black people over 40 years old to 80, they're petrified. They're locked up inside their houses. They're afraid of these young black thugs. Okay? In fact, I just saw somebody just send me a YouTube. It was the worst thing I've seen. 80-year-old black guy in a subway. Fought in World War II, Korean War. He was wearing a Trump t-shirt. He's in a subway. He's like 79, 80 years old. A young black guy, 25 years old, 24, 25, comes up to him, said, "Hey, you voting for Trump?" This is all recorded. The young guy hit him with a haymaker, hit this 80-year-old black guy who served the country, just a decent law-abiding man. This guy fell like Frankenstein, like a tree on his back, hit his head a few times, didn't wake up. I think he died. And then what about the black captain that just retired after 38 years of service? Yeah. You know, 5 kids, 10 grandkids, and he was shot, like a piece of a carcass in a slaughterhouse because he's trying to protect this store. Let me just tell you, and you know why this is happening? This is happening because in the 70s, like 74-75%, and I got the studies from this book and many others. Candace Owens will give you that, all these other good black conservative thinkers. 74-75% of black babies being born right now in hospitals don't have a father.
Right.
This is it. It's fatherless America. Yeah. Black people are good people in themselves. Of course, to be Christ is what's going to give you supernatural virtue, but without Christ in your life, which many of these black kids are secular humanists, and same with Antifa, I'll get into them too. They're secular humanists. They don't have Christ in their life to give them an interior custody, interior regulation and moderation of their intellect and their will. Without Christ, A, and then B, and we're talking about a lot of the black kids that we see committing crimes right now, 3 out of 4 of them don't have a father at home. Do you realize the impact that has? That this is the unraveling of an entire generation. That's why we have, you know, in America, across America, you have virtually every single year since they've been documenting this, about 6,000 black-on-black murders in America every year, and nobody says anything. And what about black lives? What about babies? You know the Planned Parenthood, they were founded by Margaret Sanger to exterminate blacks. It was called the Extermination Negro Project. Okay, what about do black babies' lives matter? 40% of the abortions in New York are black babies, yet they're only black females are only 6% of the population.
You know where I'm at, Jesse?
Man,
this is where I'm at now. You know, I type this out. I get to be like Trump sometimes. Every thought I have, I post online. But I said, you know, abolish police? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is ridiculous. I literally started to laugh. That's where I'm at right now. Look at what's going on. And here's what I came to mind. abolish police. Men are allowed in little girls' bathrooms. Infanticide, you know, the meaning, not just late-term abortions, but let the baby die after it survives the birth. Green New Deal. I mean, we could pick that apart for a day. Boys stealing awards from and scholarships from girls. Marriage can mean anything. I said thruples, you know, in case you don't know what that means. That means one person can marry two other people. You have three people in the marriage. Violent criminals released from prisons. $14 trillion to pay for slavery reparation. I said the Democrats should pay for that because we lost a lot of lives trying to abolish slavery. Relentless efforts to depose the president and blatant religious discrimination. That's what's happened. And much of that, Jesse, has happened in the last 3 years. And this is where I'm at right now. I think that I give credence to the 100 years of Satan's unbinding. And I just posted this today too. I said, you know who Satan's special forces are? Satan's special forces, I said this. The Satan's most powerful forces, elite fighting force, are the indifferent, the dispassionate, the half-hearted. It's the lukewarm. These are Satan's special forces because they are most effective in winning over a multitude of souls for the devil. Why? Because many are easily swayed by their version of lukewarm religion, okay? Pope Pius X once said, all the strength of Satan's reign is due to easygoing weakness of Catholics. Satan wanted 100 years with a greater power. And all for many, many years, looking at that, I thought, well, he increased in his strength. No, he didn't. And a lot of people who are angelologists will say that angels don't change. So how did he get a greater power? We got weak. This, I believe, this is where I'm at right now, Jesse, is that we got to look at it ourselves. You know, we got to look at, you know, what are we doing or what are we not doing, right? And here's what I think happened in 2017. I think we started ramping it up again. I always, Jesse, always to give a shock value, I tell people that, and I probably did this on 20 of our shows, but I always tell people my seminary training, if you were seen with a statue of Mary in your room or a rosary in your pocket, you were either led to a psychologist or you were just asked to leave because that was fanatical, right? We were not offered 1 minute of Eucharistic adoration in all my seminary training, okay? Wow. And, but what's been going on, I'll call it the last 2 decades. Under John Paul II, followed by Pope Benedict, okay, you know, more devotion to the Blessed Mother, more love of the great devotions throughout our church, sacramentals, more desire to offer a more reverent instead of a casual, lukewarm mass, more desire to come before our Lord in the Holy Eucharist in adoration. Jesse, I had guys come up to me last week. He said, one of them called, kind of representing the whole gang. He said, Father, can we adore through the night this Friday night? I said, yeah, you can. They wanted to make the special sacrifice of not just going when it's convenient, but to get up in the middle of the night and adore our Lord. Jesse, this is why Satan's power didn't decrease, but our power increased. And come along about 2017, and if you remember, there were 1.5 million Catholics in Poland that came out with their rosaries and prayed in 2017, okay? But this kind of thing was happening all over the world, all right? Now, what's happened since then? And this list that most of this has happened since 2017. So doesn't he have a greater power? No, he is panicked right now. That's what I believe is going on. He's panicked, but we have to keep at it. We have to keep get stronger. We have to become more convinced of God's supernatural power. We have to wield that power, especially in the public square, okay? And this is what, and so you see these ridiculous things because they're just panicked. Let's abolish the police. it's crazy what's going on. What do you think about my theory?
Let me go. I agree with what you're saying, and let me put some flesh to it. Let me go macro here.
Okay.
Revelation 12:12, it says here, "For the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So that's what you're saying.
Yep.
I think the devil's ramped up his game. The Bible says that he knows his time is short, and exactly. That's why he's ramped up his game. How exactly. does the devil attack us? It's in the Catechism, paragraph 407. It says, "The devil, ignorance of the fact that man has a wounded nature, inclined to evil, gives rise to serious errors in the areas." And here's where Satan, it says, Satan has a certain domination over, here it is, paragraph 407, education. Politics, social action. Take a look at what's happening in the streets, social action, and morals. This is the fourfold attack of Satan from the Catechism, Revelation 12:12. He knows his time is short. The devil knows, and this is why it pained me so much when the churches were closed, because as Father Chad Ripper says, he says, the economy of grace that flows from the triune God to earth, it comes through the sacraments.
Right,
it comes through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so to cut off the Mass and the sacraments is to cut off the normal flow of the economy of God's grace upon the earth. And this is exactly what we need to combat the diabolical. And Archbishop Vigano, he tells President Trump, he alludes to it twice in his letter. He talks about this Masonic underpinning. Here's this one sentence Archbishop Vigano says: "It will not be surprising if in a few months we learn once again that hidden behind these acts of vandalism and violence, there are those who hope to profit from the dissolution of the social order." Dissolution, that's what the Masons want. The dissolution of the social order, so as to build a world without freedom. A world without freedom. A world of government control. And Archbishop Vigano writes, "Salve et coagula," which is a Latin phrase, which basically means that something must be broken down before it can be built up again.
Right.
That's what it means. And that's it. He says in the...
It's a Masonic statement, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Masonic adage. That's a Masonic teaching. You got to destroy a society before you build it up again. Then again, he says in this another part about it to President Trump, he says, "They are subservient to the deep state who by their words prove that they're aligned on the opposing side." He says, "aligned to the new world order, which they invoke ever more frequently in the name of a universal brotherhood, which has nothing Christian about it because it rejects the God the Father, but which evokes the Masonic ideals of those who want to dominate the world by driving God out of the courts, out of schools, out of the families, and perhaps even out of churches." This took a lot of guts for Archbishop Vigano to say this, because there may well be a lot of Masons within the Congress and the Senate, within the White House. But Vigano just put it out there because he knows, or the Masons know, true Masons know, that the arch enemy of the Masons is the Catholic Church. There's been a consistent Catholic papal condemnation of Freemasonry for about 150 years. And so this is, and St. Maximilian Kolbe is probably, you know, cheering up in heaven as he read this, because St. Maximilian Kolbe was warning us about this in the 20th century, in the early 20th century, about the Masonic infiltration in the Catholic Church even then. And again, the Masons, they want to destroy all religion, especially the Catholic religion. And they're hostile to order. They're hostile to capitalism. Who gave Western civilization capitalism? The Catholic faith. And by the way, a lot of people don't realize this whole thing about the separation of church and state. That's not a Catholic principle. That came from the Freemasons. That's a Masonic principle. And so and for some people that are wondering, "Well, Jess, you know, they're just a good old men's club out there. They don't mean any harm." Well, let me tell you something. You have 33 degrees in Freemasonry. When you get to the highest degree, the 33rd degree, guess what is revealed to the 33rd degree Mason? What's revealed to them, they tell them, "Oh, by the way, the great architect that you've been praying to, you know, for all these years as a Mason and moving up the ranks, the great architect that you've been praying to is Lucifer. It's Satan. But at this point, you're so steeped into it, all your social context, your business context, your family context, everything is Masonic. Once it's finally told to you, by the way, we worship Satan as a 33rd degree Mason, that's revealed to you. At that point, you're just, it's kind of too late, because to leave them, your whole world collapses, unless you have authentic conversions, like, you know, some ex-Masons that have become Catholics and have written about this, like, for example, John Salza, who wrote about this in his book, Masonry Unmasked, and many others. He's not the only one.
Jesse, when it comes to Antifa, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, when it comes to any of these groups that are using this moment to explode this violence and this chaos on the scene, do you see in your take on a bigger organized effort behind them, that they're being used, that they're part of something bigger? Or is this just this random, spontaneous, I'm a bit facetious at this point, random spontaneous violence just happens to be organized in major cities all across the country roughly at the same time?
Look, I'm going to go macro on you, big picture. Okay. All of this has to do, and then I'll bring these guys in. All of this has to do with, you have socialist, globalist, the deep state in politics, in the church, the communists, the Masons. You have the sons of darkness that see that we have a president that actually wants to put America first. He doesn't believe in socialism or globalism. He believes in nationalism. I want to make America great so I can lift everybody else up, all the other nations, because if America's doing well, all the other nations are doing well because they're attached to us. Now, when America has a fever or a flu, everybody else is affected. And so he doesn't play the game with them. He doesn't play their socialist game. And so this is why he's hated so much. He's also hated because, remember, he's part of the billionaires club. But they look at him like a heretic because he doesn't buy into global warming. He doesn't buy into climate change. He doesn't buy into socialism. He doesn't buy into big government. He's looked as a heretic amongst the billionaire club, which most of these guys are, again, one world government types, you know, one world currency, you know, open borders. This is the push from a lot of these globalists, Bill Gates, George Soros. They're using their money for this. They also hate President Trump because he's the most pro-life president in the history of our country. He's the most pro-religious liberty president in the history of our country. This is anathema to the leftist progressives. And so at this point, Doug, they're gonna launch one assault after another, because they're saying, we've got to defeat him. He's put 200 normal thinking conservative, you know, strict constructionist judges all over the country. He's put in two normal, you know, strict constructionist, you know, we don't believe in an evolving evolution, justices of the Supreme Court. They know, because they took over the courts decades ago. They were smart. They couldn't have passed any of their socialist platforms by the vote. They took it, they went to their courts, they stacked the courts, and they went to the politicians. They never could have won this by popular vote. And so President Trump is fighting fire with fire. He's now stacked. See, Barack Obama left 140 vacancies because everybody thought Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in. They said, hey, you know what? Leave them open. Hillary Clinton will put, you know, ACLU judges like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and others, and Sotomayor. Well, guess what? They didn't expect, the globalist, leftist, progressives, Masons, communists, didn't expect Trump to win. He won. He's filled all these seats. He's already filled 60 more, 200 seats, two Supreme Court justices. You know what they sniff? They're saying, oh no, oh no, Roe versus Wade could be on the chopping block. If he wins, in 2020, it could be on the chopping block. This is a huge business for the left, the killing of babies, the selling of body parts. There's huge money exchange in this. And to them, this is their sacrament. This is what they offer to their demon god Moloch, this Old Testament deity, which today, you know, I'm sure underneath a lot of boardrooms is being worshipped today. They see this is about, they're close to losing this if he wins the next 4 years. So what did they do? They threw this Russian conspiracy at him. You know, Spygate, Stormy Daniels, COVID-19. That failed. Now, let's gin up race wars. And then we'll call him a racist. And in a few months from now, people are going to say, we need a new president because the country is just blown up because of these race wars. This is all orchestrated by evil men, and the puppet behind all of this is Satan. Yep.
So let me follow up real quick on this then. So then, because I agree with all of that. This is why I believe anytime we get people out there who are just, and it breaks my heart and it angers me sometimes when I see these people in social media who are faithful Christians, faithful Catholics even, who are just kind of drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to the way the protests and the riots are being talked about and handled. And you've got people who have been involved in Antifa, who were undercover in Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who've come out and have said, look, we're being played, okay? They're playing us. They're using us. They're setting us up for something much, much bigger and much more devastating, like you just talked about, Jesse, which I agree with. This is the sort of thing that how do we get people to just wake up and stop drinking the Kool-Aid? Because there's so many people, law enforcement, like you said, other Black conservatives out there. There's this Officer Tatum who was do you know Officer Tatum? You've seen some of his stuff.
Yeah, he's good. He's an ex-Tucson police officer.
Yeah, he's been just as vocal as you as a former law enforcement. And Candace Owens, of course, is another incredibly vocal conservative out there when it comes to really nailing this down as to what's really going on here. I mean, this battle, I mean, from everything you just described, obviously we can all sit back and say, oh yeah, this is going to be the next 5 months or so going to be pretty smooth sailing, isn't it? This is only going to ramp up more and more, which is why we've got to do, I agree with what you've said, Father, we have got to understand the need for us and to respond, to get involved with sacramental grace, with the power of God, with the supernatural, and really get out there on the front line, spiritually speaking. But we also have to be active when it comes to our social media platforms, when it comes to the right kind of protest, like, you know, protesting those who are pro-death, protesting those who want to destroy the country. I mean, this is opening the door. When I hear people saying, you know, well, we're not going to vote for Trump now because, as you said, Jess, all the chaos is up in the upheaval. What's your alternative? I mean, Biden and socialism. I mean, this is as obvious and clear as the nose on your face. That's all I got to say right now. Go ahead.
And here's the point is that a lot of these young people out there, they're being used as useful idiots.
Yeah, yes.
And there's been good investigative reporting that demonstrates that they're being well-funded. They're being funded. One of their source of funding is George Soros. I mean, this is all over. I keep getting all these, pictures from, people that are snapping pictures on social media and sending them to me, and all the communication that goes on between Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and George Soros surrogates. A lot of these kids, you know, they're unemployed. They're out of college. They haven't worked in a while. And somebody says, hey, man, I'll pay you to go and get in the police face. I'll go pay you 15, 20 bucks an hour and stuff. They're saying, wow, I haven't had a paycheck in 2 or 3 months. You know, sign me up, especially if they're low information human beings. And what I mean by that, if they don't have a relationship with God, then you're going to follow your own disordered passions. You're going to follow your own disordered appetites. And let's just be honest, most of this country, I mean, the people that are all in for Jesus and in this country right now, even within the Catholic Church, is a very small group. I would say, I mean, if practicing Catholics, they say it's about 18 to 21% of Catholics even go to Mass on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I would say with the ones that go to Mass on Sunday, about half of those are actually true believers where they're all in. And so when you're talking about followers of Christ, man, I'm telling you, we're the remnant. We are a remnant. And the fact is, it doesn't scare me at all, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, that God will always have a remnant of his children upon the earth. I just tell people, you know what? Make sure you're part of that remnant. Make sure you're living in a state of grace. Make sure you're asking God for courage every day, that you do the right thing in the public square. Make sure also that you stand up for Jesus and never deny him, because I'm telling you right now, in the third millennium, right now, it's going to be easy to become a martyr right now in the third millennium, because we're moving into that ambiance that Mexico had 100 years ago, known as the Cristeros.
You know, I agree with you. There is only a remnant. However, there is a huge army. Archbishop Vigano would call it the majority out there, who have a sense of right and wrong, good versus evil. I want to draw attention to this amazing paragraph right toward the end of his letter. He starts out this way: the American people are mature. Okay, that's kind of his language for red pill. Okay. And have now understood how much the mainstream media does not want to spread the truth, but seeks to silence and distort it, spreading the lie that is useful for the purposes of their masters, for the purposes of their masters, okay? He's totally understanding that there is a ruling class in charge. He goes on to write, however, it is important that the good, who are the majority, wake up from their sluggishness and do not accept being deceived by a minority of dishonest people with unavowable purposes. It is, and here's where he's going into it, you guys. It is necessary that the good, the children of light, come together and make their voices heard. What more effective way is there to do this, Mr. President, than by prayer? Asking the Lord to protect you, the United States, and all of humanity from this enormous attack of the enemy. And here is where I just wanted to stand up and applaud when I read this line. Before the power of prayer, the deceptions of the children of darkness will collapse. That's what we're watching. That's what we're watching. We're seeing more and more people, again, using the modern language, red pilling, okay? They're becoming illuminated, all right? And they're understanding, you know, what God wants, yes, but what the devil's up to. They're horrified and they're asking, what can we do? And in their marrow of their bones, they know that this is a spiritual war. And they're following Satan, but God is infinitely more powerful than Satan if we simply call upon him. That's why I want to talk right now real quick before our time runs out, is one of the ways we're asking people as we're going into this summer here, because everybody who's listening right now, mark your calendar, because this will be the fifth year of us doing what's called Novena for a Nation. That starts August 15th and goes till October 7th, right up near the election. And then we've also added right up to the election is the novena to St. Jude, okay? St. Jude is for, you know, seemingly impossible causes. Anyway, so mark your calendar for August 15th. Join the United States Grace Force, because you'll get all the notifications. You'll get the daily prayers and everything. But here's what we're doing in the near term, all right? You know what's going on next weekend? It's the Feast of Corpus Christi. And traditionally, we take it out of the churches, okay? And that's what we're being called to do right now, you guys. We're called to not huddle in our, like, little foxholes in the walls of our church, but we're called to be that children of light and go out into the market square. If possible, and if you got a priest behind you, bring our Lord in the Holy Eucharist and process as traditionally we've done on Corpus Christi Sundays. If you can't, though, go out with a great group and, you know, maybe bring images of the Blessed Mother or bring your rosaries, but get out and anoint this land with your prayers. Reclaim it back for the Lord. Corpus Christi Sunday, okay? You know what else it is? It's Flag Day, okay? We're getting a group here together in my diocese in Madison, Wisconsin, where and we're going up downtown where all the riots went on. I was down there earlier today, you guys, and I don't think there's a store up there that doesn't have paint on it, you know, from the graffiti. It's just, it's sad. But we're going to go up there and possibly we're going to, we're going to have a state chaplain for the Knights of Columbus lead us. Anyway, at the Hour of Mercy on the Feast of Corpus Christi, and I ordered 200 flags. So we're going to wave our flags with our, because we're praying for our country, right? And it's on Flag Day. You know what else the day is? I looked this up. You know, you can look up day in history. I couldn't believe it. It's the anniversary when Dwight Eisenhower, by the encouragement of the Knights of Columbus, by the way, declared on June 14th, 1954, all right, that under God would be added to the Pledge of Allegiance. So we're calling this the under God processions. If you've got our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, you do it. If you got an army of people with a rosary, do it. But we're saying we need to get our nation back under God, okay? These culprits, these children of darkness have been ripping this nation out from the arms of God and taking us into a pagan nation, okay? We need to get this nation back under God. Let's start this summer out. Get on the soil. Process with your flags and your rosaries and our Lord if you can, okay? One last thing, I just found this out this morning. You know what else it is? This was all planned next week, but I found out this morning, you know what else next Sunday is? The president's birthday. You can't make this up. It was already planned. It happens to be the president's birthday. So we got to pray protection over him, right? I mean, he's a warrior and he's standing against this deep state and all the other forces of evil. Let's just talk about, you know, the force of the culture of death, okay? He is chipping away with this. A lot of people, hey, why didn't he, you know, when he first got into office, just end it? No, you got to get the public behind you. You've got to get judges in place. You got to put all the pieces in place. Yeah. So that when you do it, it's secure, okay, and it's done, okay. So he's been adding every chip away from that. Gosh, I love this guy. I just do. He's a warrior. He's a Constantine. And so please, everybody who's listening right now, under God processions, right? And Doug, we got a T-shirt coming too for that too.
Yep.
Yeah. Under God, we actually. Under God, the words, and then the flag, that's what stands for our nation, right under the words, under God. So we want one nation under God. It's pretty cool. So please, 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 let's get this, let's get all the children of light out and push back the darkness. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Jesse, before we do wrap this up, what sort of message would you want to send to people as former law enforcement? You've made it clear already that we're going to have chaos if this happens. But there are a lot of people that are hearing the message that defunding the police, they're going to take that money and they're going to put it in other areas like social work or healthcare. This is the dribble that's been coming out. As former law enforcement, what sorts of things will be defunded? What sorts of areas do you think this is really going to start to hurt and how people are going to be affected by this? So people can get a clear picture of this, because this is going to start coming down to different communities and how loud this side screams to how loud this side reacts and responds appropriately. But that side's got to be louder. I mean, this is we don't want this to become old West justice type stuff again. What would you say to the people about this?
All the law enforcement agencies that I know of, they're all stretched thin right now. A lot of them, most of the night shift guys in most cities are working one-man cars. We don't even have two-man cars anymore because they're so stretched thin. To get rid of the police budget, you're going to get rid of stuff like SWAT, specialized units like gang task force, narcotics task force. I mean, these people are overworked as it is. To get rid of all these specialized units is going to be a disaster for every city. That's not the answer. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is for everybody. And here's every single one of us to have a conversion to Christ. You know what I hope? You know what I hope happened to George Floyd? I hope that the moment that he was dying, I hope he gave his life to Jesus. And I hope that he died in friendship with Christ. And I hope he made it to heaven. And I hope all his sins are forgiven one day. I hope he reached out to Christ as he was dying. What I hope for the officer, Derek Chauvin. Well, as he sits in his jail cell for excessive force, which turned into the death of George Floyd, I hope in his jail cell that he meets Christ. I hope in his jail cell, in his prison cell, that he has a powerful conversion to Christ, becomes a disciple for Christ, and becomes militant about Jesus in the prison system, because he's lost everything else in the world. And what do I hope for everybody else? I hope for everybody else out there, realize that, you know what, there's a thin veil between life and death. There's no guarantee you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. And when you die, there's only two teams. You're either part of the winning team or part of the losing team. I hope every single one of us, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, personal repentance and come back to God, and national repentance and come back to God, so God can heal our land. Government Amen. Can't heal our land. You know, climate change can't heal our land. No political party can heal our land. Amen. Only God can heal our land. And that will come about if when God gives us the grace from heaven, when we repent individually and we repent nationally. That's Amen. What we need. Those are my parting shots.
Amen. Well, let's end with that. That is awesome,
That's
Jesse.
Good, man. Amen. Yeah.
All right, let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Jesse, thank you. Great to have
God
you on,
bless
brother.
You, my brother.
Anytime, guys.